Hello again, this is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're live again tonight. You know, we've had so much disruption lately with the weather and everything. Okay, my guest tonight has been through the same thing I have with this terrible ice storm we had a few weeks ago. He was supposed to be my guest then, but we were without power so long that I couldn't do a show. So you're there, Harold, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Okay, how did it hit you over there in Elkins? Were you without power?
Yeah, for about 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Almost out there. Yeah, we have Ozark Electric, and yeah, we were really, well, now, you know, I live in town in an apartment, but my family, you know, son and daughter lives out there.
Uh-huh. Well, we were out for 8 days, and that was enough. I didn't want any more.
Yeah, well, I think it was close to 2 weeks that they were out.
Uh-huh. Well, I think I told a little bit about this last week, but this was, they said, the worst ice storm that has ever hit northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
You know, the last 2 years, they had a bad storm in Missouri up around Springfield. That did the same thing, and it was like we missed the bullet that time.
Yeah, well, I was happy about that.
This time we didn't. I mean, it, we had trees and limbs and big trees knocked down on my place, too.
Yeah.
And in town, everything, it looked like a war zone.
Yeah, but it was beautiful with the ice hanging on those limbs and when the sun.
But I kept saying, I was saying, it's beautiful, but it's deadly.
Oh, it's devastating to the trees around here.
Well, also, they said the power was out because not only the lines broke, but the poles broke.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to bring people in from all the other electric companies to help.
Yeah.
But one time, I think at the beginning, they said they had to replace over 7,000 poles.
My goodness, I didn't know that many.
I think it's more than that by the time they got done. They said in Green Forest, all the poles were broken.
My goodness.
And so that's why one of the reasons it's taken so long to get back on track.
I guess Kentucky had it even worse than we did.
That's what they said. The same storm moved over that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't want any more of that anyway. At least we got our power back, but we're still trying to get the trees back in shape and all the debris carried away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you didn't have any damage then to the houses or anything?
No, my tree fell on my granddaughter's car.
Uh-huh.
So, but it didn't do a heck of a lot, but, it did do some damage.
Well, I had a big tree in front of my house, had three trunks, and one of them broke off.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it in the middle of the night, this big crash,
because
it was a big tree. And I was thinking my car was parked under that tree. But the way it fell, the limbs held it up. So it just made like a little canopy over the car.
Well, that was good.
So it didn't hurt it.
No, this reminded me, I'm retired from the Army, but, there's a song out that says, The night the lights went out in Georgia. I was in Georgia when the lights went out, and that was in 72, I guess. And we were without power, and this just reminded me of that storm. And it was just breaking down a lot of pine trees down there. And it was just in my yard, in my lot down there was 37 pine trees, and it just broke limbs off of all of them.
Uh-huh.
So this reminded me of that.
Yeah, because the weather has been very strange, because last year we had the terrible floods here, the worst floods they've ever had, and now we have the worst ice storm.
Yeah.
Then the other night we had tornadoes popping around, so
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, weather is really strange.
Well, you know what I think? They have this kind of stuff. You know, we think things are bad now because it's happening in our time, but if you look back through history, this stuff goes in cycles, you know.
Yeah.
And there'll be times back in history, you know, but that's way back. It doesn't bother us now, but it's happening to us. And so that's what we think is so bad. But I don't think it's probably any worse than what's been happening in the past every few years.
Yeah, down through time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we go any further, I want to give out the toll-free number. I forgot to do that.
Okay.
Okay, the toll-free number for anyone who wants to call in tonight and ask Carol questions is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Now, Harold McCoy, and we have been friends for, it must be close to 25 years now.
Yeah.
We go back a long, long way, back when we were all just starting out on our adventures in the metaphysical world. And Harold is an ex-army man, but he discovered that he could do healing. And so, you know, we had Gladys on a few weeks ago talking about the Institute, the Ozark Research Institute. But she talked about the meetings they have and when they heal people there. But I want to talk about you and, you know, your abilities and what you do and what you're teaching. But and I remember back when you was first discovering you could do this fantastic healing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go back that far and tell about how you discovered you could do it?
Well, you know, first of all, I started out as a dowser. Probably most people know what dowsing is.
Yeah.
And dowsing has to do with the mind phenomena. I mean, you know, if you take a fork stick and you walk over the ground looking for an underground flowing vein of water, and that stick goes down, there's always water there. There's a vein of water there.
Yeah.
And I've doused dozens of wells successfully. And you know, I spent 24 years in the Army, and I was in military intelligence. And this dowsing thing just intrigued me. You know, what is this power pulling down? You know, in the military, you get a little piece of the puzzle here, a little piece there, and a little piece there, and you try to build a picture around the whole, whatever problem you're working on.
Yeah.
And so I started trying to build a picture around to figure out how dowsing works, you know. And I come to the conclusion that it's all mind phenomena. It's, you know, everything in the universe is known someplace, and all we have to do is tap into that knowledge, and you know, and it's just the reason, you know, I think most everybody can do that. I think everybody can do that if they can get away from the doubt and the ego and all that and just do it. I think I could teach anybody in the world how to douse, and I think I can teach anybody in the world how to do healing work.
Yeah, because you're having classes now all over the world, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're having wonderful results with them, too, from what I've heard.
Yeah, in fact, we might get to it later, but I just, in November, went to Taiwan, and I speak to big groups. And one of the biggest groups I spoke to was 2,500 people.
That's what I heard. That was the largest crowd you've had, wasn't it?
That's less than most people at one time I've ever spoken to, and that was just absolutely thrilling. It was wonderful. And those people were so attentive. They were just absolutely just a wonderful bunch of people. But anyway,
did you speak with a translator there?
Yeah, I had a translator.
Because they want me to come to Taiwan, too.
Oh, yeah?
Because my books are now translated there. My publisher is in Taiwan, and they're... Several of my books are in Chinese now.
Well, that'd be wonderful, Dolores. That, you know, they're just a wonderful bunch of people. And they're interested in all that stuff. And you would just have such a great crowd.
Well, I hope I could even have half as much as you did.
Well, I tell you, it was
But
it was
the lecture you gave was mostly about the healing?
Yeah, and mind phenomena. You know, in my lectures, you know, I do two-day workshops, too. And I did a two-day workshop in Taiwan. I talk about, you know, the power of the mind. How that's what does the healing, and that's what does the dowsing. And that's what, you know, you walk across the ground and you can find an underground flowing vein of water, but I can take a map and douse that map and mark the spot on the map where the water is on the ground, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's I just call that the mind phenomena.
I remember back when we, you know, first knew you, when he first met you and everything, that you found water for this little town near here where they needed water real bad. And They couldn't find any. You know, it was so expensive to drill wells, and you found water for them.
Yeah, they'd used all their budget to try to find water, and they couldn't find any. So I just went out and found a place to drill, and they had just the most abundant water you've ever seen.
But if I remember right, the mayor of the town didn't want to give you credit for it.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Because they don't want to really, I guess they're afraid people will think they're working with the devil and all of that.
Yeah, and he was a minister too. The mayor was also a minister.
So he's not about to admit that these things exist.
But the funny thing about that was, I found it, and then he was just sort of in disbelief, and I said, here, hold a stick. You know, showed him how to hold a fork stick. And I said, just think of water and walk across there like I did. And he walked across there, and that stick pulled down and just about scared him half to death.
I bet it did. But it's hard to make a believer out of some of these people.
Oh, yeah. It is. But, you know, I don't go around trying to convince people. I just do my thing, and you know, that's it.
Uh-huh. But this... How long were you over there within Taiwan? Did you go on the mainland China?
No, just in Taiwan. I was there for 12 days, and this spring I'm going back to Malaysia and Singapore.
You going to Kuala Lumpur?
No. Yeah, Kuala Lumpur, yeah.
That's right there across the water from Singapore. That's in Malaysia.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the capital of Malaysia?
Yeah, that's the capital.
Yeah, that's where I'm going, there and in Singapore.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. You know how...
It'd be interesting, too.
You might be interested to know how I got hooked up with all these Chinese. I've done a workshop in Santa Barbara, and there's some Chinese people in that workshop. And so, you know, I don't know if I met them or not. I didn't remember. But then... A couple of years later, she called me, and she said, she lives in Crestone, Colorado, and this is doctor. She said, I have 150 Chinese-speaking people coming over, and we're going to do a conference on Buddhism, but I want you to come up and do a two-day workshop.
Oh.
So I went up there, and we done a two-day workshop, and we had 110 people in there. So, and that's where I met the interpreter. He done a great job. And these people just loved it. So they wanted me, every one of them wanted me to come. These people were from all over the United States and the world. They were from Malaysia and Singapore and mainland China and Canada and New Zealand. I mean, they had come in from all over the place. And then they all invited me, each of them invited me to come to their country to do workshops. And Taiwan was just the first of the ones that, you know, the first of them. So evidently, I'll be going to a lot of different places and doing these workshops. So anyway, after the workshop in Crestone, Colorado, I got invited to Los Angeles to do a workshop, and that was all Chinese, the Chinese community out there.
Yeah.
And then I got invited to go to Houston, Texas, and that was an all Chinese workshop. So I just sort of got into the Chinese culture there, and I really—they're just wonderful people. I just love them, and they're so attentive, and they learn fast,
okay, I was supposed to go to Hong Kong in November before I went to Australia, New Zealand, but that one didn't work out. We couldn't get enough people to sign up. But I know I'm going back because they want me to come back because of the publisher there and the books. So I would like to get into that area.
Yeah,
but
well,
when I gave my class in Perth this time in November, I had the largest class I've ever had for my hypnosis.
Is that right?
I had 91 people in the class. I usually have like 30 or 40, and boy, that was intimidating to have that many.
Well, I love it. I was in Sydney. Sydney, Australia, a couple of years ago, and I had 135 people.
Yeah.
And up until that time, that was the largest class that I'd done.
Yeah, well, I've had more at lectures, but this was a class. And in the class were some men from Japan. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about wanting me to go to Japan and do a class.
Yeah, well,
it looks like we're going to be going all over the place anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that's because people are searching for something, and this is more, you know, this is something real that they can connect into.
Uh-huh.
And I think everybody can do it. That's the whole thing. You don't need an education. You don't need to have a degree to do this. Just people like me can do it.
Yeah, if that's what they always think, it has to have special training. But everybody, I think, does have these abilities.
Yeah. Well, you know, you asked me a while ago how I started doing this.
Yeah, but go into that part, because you were a dowser first, and how did you get over into the healing? Let's tell the people about that.
Yeah, well, okay. And as I said, the dowsing what got me started into this. So we were having a dowsing class here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, in the Ozark Electric building. And I had 30-some people there. And at lunchtime, you know, we'd been talking about energy, how energy works, how you can divert an underground vein of water into a dry well, and all kind of energy. And so we were going to go to lunch, and Lada stepped off of the step and turned her, and her ankle snapped. And we got her back in, and she was sitting there. This thing was hurting and throbbing and swelling. In 30 minutes, it was twice as big as it should be. And something just sort of told me, well, try to pull that swelling out of there. So I put my hands on either side of her ankle, not touching her, but just sort of, you know, just making the motions of pulling that energy out of there. Within 2 hours, it was back down to normal, and she has never had another problem with that ankle.
Mm.
So that got me, you know, again, and I've been trying to research how all this stuff happens, and just mind phenomena. And then I start experimenting with other stuff, you know, and healing and remote healing. And you know, we had a research project that lasted 2 years that was funded by the National Institutes of Health. And we were removing brain tumors at a distance, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's just no limit. Everything is possible. Everything's possible. And so, you know, we've healed, you know, broken bones and just, you know, all breast cancer, prostate cancer. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's not me doing it. I mean, I'm just channeling this energy with the intent of healing something, you know.
Well, that's the same thing I do. You know, it's what I'm teaching. It's through hypnosis, but we're letting the person heal themselves with their own mind.
Yeah.
I get the conscious mind out of the picture, so it can't interfere, because it's always in there saying, oh, this is impossible.
Yeah.
So mine is done a little different way, but we're having remarkable results, too, with healing.
Yeah.
So that's what I tell people. It is the mind.
That's
what we're working with here.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not doing it either. I'm just the facilitator.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you know, the mind is a wonderful thing. You know, the brain works in four basic bands of frequencies, and somebody named them beta, alpha, theta, and delta.
Yeah.
And you know, beta frequency is like from 14 to 26. That's when you're totally alert. You're analytical. You know, that's when you're alive and
you're supposedly awake anyway.
Yeah, awake.
Because I work with these same frequencies.
Oh, yeah, I know you do.
Beta,
yeah.
And when you're supposed to be, you think you're awake and functioning anyway.
And then alpha, of course, is from that band of frequencies from 7 to 14, and that's kind of when you're in a daydream state.
And meditation falls in there.
Yeah, and then theta, that frequency, that band of frequencies is from 3 to 7 cycles per second. And that's when you're in sleeping, and that's when you're dreaming. That's when you have rapid eye movement. That's the only frequency that you dream in. from 3 to 7 cycles per second, or hertz per second.
That's the frequency that I work in.
Yep.
I work in theta.
Yep, that's true. And then delta is from 0.5 hertz to 3 hertz. And that's just when you're absolutely knocked out. But I think what happened in delta for me is when I'm sending healing remotely, I think that goes from out in delta. I think that's the delta frequency that sends that to wherever I'm trying to send it to.
You think that's the one you're operating with and using?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Because I work with the theta energy.
Yeah.
So you're working with one below that then.
Yeah, well, both of those frequencies are, is pretty deep. And in fact, that's when the body heals itself, you know. And the body heals itself in theta and delta.
Uh-huh.
And so...
That would make sense because that's where I work and the body is doing the healing.
Mm-hmm.
While they are in that deep level.
Yeah, well, the reason I know that that I'm in delta when I'm doing that, you know, we have a brain mapper here at the Ozark Research Institute.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You're able to measure these brain waves, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And so I know when I'm sending out, because I've done that, I've had that this brain mapper has, it's like a skull cap, but it's got 21 sensors. And it just, at any point in time, I can tell what frequency the brain's working in, or what if it's in beta, alpha, theta, or delta.
Yeah.
And so when I'm actually sending healing energy out, I'm in delta. But, you know, I don't care how deep you get, your beta, you still have a 5 or 10% of that beta. That's your survival thing. You can be in a deep trance, but if something dangerous happens, beta will wake you up right away.
Yeah. And you also told me that you don't go completely out because you're still functioning.
Yeah.
And you're aware of what's going on.
Yeah, I'm still conscious in that 5 or 10% of the beta, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where the visualization, I believe that's where the visualization is.
Yeah.
Now, I've never proven that, but I mean, that's my belief that you do the visualization in beta, and then it just sort of goes on down and goes out in delta.
Uh-huh.
It's just kind of like radio waves, you know. If you turn on your radio, well, that transmitter might be transmitted at 100 megacycles, but when it hits the radio antenna, there's a step-down transformer that gets it, a couple of them, that gets it down to audio so you can hear it with your ears, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how the brain works.
You know, that's what I think, you know, we don't really understand this, but we're still experimenting with it, and we're learning more all the time.
We're just scratching the surface.
Yeah, because in my work, I keep finding more and more information that comes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do just the healing. I'm also finding lost information and new information.
Yeah.
So we are tapping into some kind of a source here that is
yeah.
able to do all these things.
See, I think that everything in the universe is known. And I believe that every person in the universe knows everything, but we just can't, you know, we just can't get into that. We just can't access it. It's there. It's there in our subconscious someplace,
yeah.
but we just can't access it. And that's what meditation does. You know, we don't use 10% of our brain anyway.
I was going to say that.
but we
only use the stupid conscious mind, and the conscious mind doesn't know anything.
That's true, yeah. It gets all clogged up with unuseful information.
Well, it has ego, it has all of these things that it's living in, but it's not even aware of this wonderful power that is right there.
Yeah, but that's what meditation does. It widens that, your knowledge, it widens your ability to conceive or to access that, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like we can only see a certain, see, you know, our five senses, that's all we have. You know, your sight, your hearing, your touch, and your feel, you know, all that. But But if you're in a meditative state, you can expand that out to other dimensions, I think.
Yeah. Because we think we only have the five senses, but there's so much more. And oh, I'm finding it in my work, and you are too.
Yeah.
It's that we tap into that bigger part of ourselves. Like you said, all knowledge is there.
Yep.
And we can tap into it.
That's true.
Once we remove the conscious mind interference.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Get that conscious mind out of the way.
Yeah, and that's what I do with hypnosis. It's the same thing. I just relax until I get the conscious mind out. Then we can go to the part that actually does the healing and has all of the answers.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, we are working on the same things. And, you know, it's funny. We both started out at the same time.
Yeah.
Neither one of us knowing what we were doing.
That's right. I still don't know what I'm doing.
I know. We've come a long way since then, anyway.
Yeah, and it's so much fun, I tell you. You know, some of my, and I'm sure you have the same thing, some of the workshops that I do, the wife, maybe she's into this, the husband isn't, but she just drags him along, you know. And he's sitting there, and you're talking, and you can just see, they just open up like a rosebud, you know. And by the time that workshop's over, they really got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like to see that. That's really, really amazing.
And I know when I took yours way back in the beginning, and you have a way of making it simple to understand, too.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing, that's the only way I could do it. If it was difficult, I wouldn't be able to do it, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. You know?
Let's tell people the story. I always like that story you tell was one of the first cases you ever had of the little boy in England with the cleft palate.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was...
very beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the first remote healing that I ever done.
Yeah.
And,
you didn't know what you were doing, but you did it anyhow.
Yeah, and I didn't know what I was doing. I when you start doing this kind of work, if you just open up your lid, I mean, it just sort of flows in.
Yeah.
But anyway, my son was in the Air Force, and he was in England, and we talked every week, and I talked to him one week, and he'd met this young English girl there that had an 18-month-old son. And this little boy had been born with a cleft palate. And so he was telling me about it, and, you know, they have socialized medicine over there. So from the moment the kid was born, they knew they were going to have to go in there and do an operation one of these days to close that hole up. And so he called me one Saturday and said he really felt sorry for that little boy because they had taken him to the doctor this past Thursday and they examined him, said it's time to go in and fix the cleft palate.
Yeah.
And he said, and they made an appointment to do it next Thursday, but he said the way they do it here, they will, you know, they will get the little boy, they'll deaden that, you know, what they're going to do this. Well, they're going to repair that thing, and they'll sew it up, and it's such a they don't even put his tongue up there and push the stitches out.
Yeah.
So they sew his tongue over to his cheek, and they tie his hands to the bed so he can't get his finger up there, and they do that till the deadening wears off, till the stuff that they deadened it with wears off. And
uh-huh.
I thought, good Lord, that kid's going to be traumatized for his whole life, you know. And so I just went in there and sat down in my chair. This was on a Saturday.
You said you felt sorry for him, even though you'd never met this child.
Oh, yeah. He was just an 18-month-old kid, and I love kids, and I just don't like to see them mistreated, you know. And anyway, I just, in my mind's eye, I'm just feeling sad for him. And I guess I just dropped into a meditative state. And I just had, yeah, he was in Banbury, England, and I'm here in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I found myself sitting on his lower front teeth, looking up at the hole. Just had no idea how I got there. And I started saying things like, this child's system will produce the proper cells to fill up this hole. And in my mind's eye, it looked like the hole was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, I did that. That was on Sunday, and I Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and they're going to do the operation on Thursday. So by Wednesday, in my mind's eye, that hole was completely closed up. So my son called me back on Saturday, and I said, "Hey, how'd the operation go?" He said, "You know, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen." He said, "We had taken him in the previous Thursday, and they examined him and said it was time to do the operation. And then when we took him in this last Thursday, we checked him in there at the desk. A doctor walked out of the office and walked up and said, "Let's see what we got to do to this boy." And they opened up and he looked up and the nurse said, "Well, you're going to do the cleft palate." And he said, "Oh, let me look." And he looked up into his mouth and he raised up with a puzzled look and said, "He don't have a cleft palate. You have the wrong child here." and so my son said there was a half a dozen doctors walking around there scratching their heads, wondering what happened to that hole since last Thursday. and they never did figure it out, and I could not get those records. When I do something, I like to get records. I like to get documentation.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah. But anyway, we got to go to England a year or two later, and they family met us at the airport, and the first thing I done, I grabbed that little kid and looked up in his mouth, and it just looked familiar. And we've had him over here two or three times to spend the summer, the spring with us.
But see, that's the main thing. You know, people don't realize that you can do these things.
Absolutely. It's absolutely. Everything is possible. You can affect the weather if you want to. I don't try to do that a lot because, unless I had a real good reason.
Yeah, they say if you try to affect the weather, it's going to go somewhere else, and then
probably
get it, you know.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good karma, I don't think.
No, unless you can, when I do that, if there's a tornado coming or something,
yeah,
I try to put it around the property, but put it where there's nobody else living there, because here in the country, there's not, it's populated, there's a lot of places.
Yeah, that's the way up here. We've never had tornadoes up here on the top of the mountain. They always go down to the valley.
Yeah. And anyway, I try to make it go around the property and not hurt anybody or any building, but just if they knock down a tree, well, that's okay.
But in my work too, is when I found that you can talk to your body. Even a person can do this by themselves. You can talk to your body.
That's true. Yeah.
And they said your body really likes for you to talk to it and acknowledge that there's.
Yeah.
Well, I was told it's like you have a universe within your own body.
Yeah, every cell is a different, yeah.
And that you can talk to these cells. You can talk to the organs.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell them you're doing a wonderful job, but, I appreciate everything you're doing. You're a good heart, you're a good liver, or whatever it is, and you're working just perfectly, and I really appreciate.
Yeah.
That sounds like there's a color, I think. But this, you can talk to your body. And I think when you do that, you are the voice of God to your own body.
True. And if you can convince your subconscious mind of that, that's the way it's going to be.
Okay. Let's see. Seth, was there a caller there?
Yeah. Hi, this is Althea Dolores. I turned onto your show about 15 minutes ago, and I heard this male voice, and I instantly knew it was Harold McCoy. I met you once in Colorado, Castle Rock, at a store called Whispering Winds, and I stood next to you, and your energy was so high, so clear. I instantly knew that you were on the money. You knew what you're doing and having some fun at it. I experienced a bit of a healing through you, and I just, just that brief encounter, I just had to say, gosh, it's good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for remembering.
Yes, you bet. And, you're so unassuming when you meet you, and you pack a powerful punch. I'm so glad you are interested in doing the work. And, Dolores, I met you at the International New Age Trade Show. You had already given out your books, and I had you know, subsequently ordered your books through you, your Convoluted Universe book 2 and 3. And I got to tell you, I wish you could pack more punch. The stuff that you're writing, it's like, it not only opens my mind, but it doesn't stretch it far enough. We need you to do more.
Well, now, I did not write that book, but...
No, Dolores did, and her,
oh, yeah,
her
Dolores
book,
did, yeah.
Yeah. Her books, you know, everybody I talk to who's reading them, we want more of it. It's kind of like you finished the book and you wish you wouldn't have read so fast.
Yeah, and they're big books too.
They're huge, and you know, I guess, if you could ever talk to whoever you're talking to, just say, okay, people really, really, really want more.
But,
don't hold back is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, appreciate everything you said then.
You bet. And I have one question for Harold. Harold, I'm about to, you know, jump off that cliff and make a move to find some soul family, some like-minded community. And I'm really struggling with self-worth issues in terms of I want it, but it seems like such a leap that I'm not sure if I'm holding myself back. Like the place hasn't come to me.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're trying to program something to happen, if you're trying to get something to happen, you have to really be sure that that's exactly what you want.
You have to be careful what you ask for. You might get it.
Yeah, that's right. I've helped people sell houses, sell real estate.
Right.
And sometimes they want to sell it, but they're so attached to it that they can't release it.
Oh, no, sir. Since December, I have been working on this home to change the colors for the potential buyer that's coming in. I am ready to let this home go. That's not the issue. The issue is bringing in what I want. It's like finally being set free to choose what I want, and now that's a bit scary. Like, if I was given $1 million, it'd be easy for me to pick my place. And I'm thinking, okay, money aside, because I don't have that, what do I really need?
Yeah.
And what I need is like-minded community. And I have this vision that means, you know, back in the 70s and hippies. And I'm not ready for that, but I'm certainly ready for a like-minded community, and I feel blocked by it.
Yeah, well, the only thing that I could probably tell you is, you know, find a half a dozen communities that you might like to, you know, go to, and then douse and find out what would be for your best and highest good.
So,
which community that you should go to.
Now, for me, I mean, the world's my venue. I would go anywhere. My husband and my daughter want to stay in Colorado. And so I guess just kind of pick there. I always thought my soul would kind of lead me there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like community, like just that feeling.
Yeah.
But I'm not finding that.
Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I started the Ozark Research Institute 17 years ago, I didn't know that there's anybody else, or when I first started doing things like this. But if you just let the word be known, you'd be surprised at what falls out of the tree, you know.
Okay.
There's probably a lot of like-minded people like you, but they're maybe like you that they're not putting it out there. You know, find out.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how to tell you to do that, but.
Well, you used to douse. I know that, and I don't douse anymore. I really kind of just tune into the heart. So what you're just saying is really kind of just go for it, really dig, dig, dig.
Yeah.
I always call us the underground, you know. There's a whole lot more people than you think.
Yeah.
Just the underground, because we don't talk about what we do and what we believe in. But once you start getting it out, you'll find there's a whole lot of people that also don't want to talk about it. They're afraid what people are going to think.
Yeah, that's true. You're afraid to put it out there because you're afraid people will think you're totally out of your mind.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that isn't the case for your books there, Dolores. I think you've jumped off the cliff, but there's so many of us with you on that book. I mean, we really do feel everybody, at least I talk to, you know, we feel it could go even farther. It's great stuff. And I felt like with your work, Harold, I just feel like you guys are, you're doing exactly what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah, I believe it.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you for, because me and Harold are the same age.
I know you are, and I'm 41, and I'm ready for my like-minded people. I really, really am.
Now, found you find your passion, what you really want to do. You don't grow old because we're just doing too much, and there's too much energy there. Isn't that true, Harold?
Yeah, if I would have started doing this stuff when I was 31, no telling what, I'd have been walking on water by now.
I'm starting to write, but I'm not very disciplined. Unfortunately, I wish I had your discipline there, Dolores, but I'm starting to do that. My passion's there, and I think I'm just coming into my passion, even though I'm only 41. You know, and I thought maybe this community, this move would help me because, you know, I don't really feel it where I'm at right now.
Well, I'm finding this all over the world. There is a lot more people than you think who are really into this, and it's growing. This whole, I guess, movement or whatever you want to call it is growing. There's a whole lot more interest now in metaphysical things and psychic things and learning powers of the mind. There's a whole lot more people out there than you think.
Absolutely.
Great. So no magic pill. You don't see me anywhere in the country, do you?
Hey, I don't know if you meditate or not, but to me, meditation is the most important thing I do. So in a case like yours, meditate and just visualize. See yourself getting in a community. Just play it like you would like to see it happen, and just do that over and over, and it'll happen.
All right. Thank you.
It's a law, law of the universe. If you can visualize it and put detail into it, it has to happen. That's the law of the universe.
And I'm going to do it. I appreciate you, too.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling in.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, see, Harold, sometimes you never know, but it makes a little beep when somebody does call in like that.
Yeah.
But, I know, I talked to Gladys about the founding of the Institute and how you got into all that, but you were doing a lot of healing for many years before you even started the Institute. Wasn't that true?
I founded that 17 years ago, but I've been doing this work for at least 25 years.
Yeah. So that's about how long I've known you.
That's true. We used to go to that Thursday night meditation group together.
There's another caller.
Okay,
let's. We have to stop at 5 till, so I'm watching the clock. Okay, who's there?
Okay, this is Nick, and I'm calling from Costa Rica. Can you hear me?
You're a little soft, but go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to speak louder.
You're louder now. They must have turned you up. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I heard you say about selling houses. I'm trying to sell mine and hoping that maybe somebody may have already come along that might buy it. It's kind of important because not only will it help me, it'll help other people too that I can help if I sell this and get the money.
Right now, the real estate market is pretty bad, you know.
Well, in Costa Rica, it's still pretty good. It is failing somewhat, but...
I'll tell you how I sell houses. I've sold several of them. I don't know if you meditate or not, but again, in a meditation...
Yeah, I do. Not as regular as I should, but I do.
Just sit in your house there, I'm comfortable, get in a meditative state, and just visualize, and I use a thought form pyramid. Just see this pyramid form over your house. Four-sided pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the side of that pyramid goes up, it also goes down. So you're sitting in the middle of a mirror image of that pyramid. One's over your head and one's underneath you. And, you know, you can visualize that.
I see what you mean. Yeah, one is reversed, the one on the bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you see this beautiful energy. These walls of this pyramid are opaque. They're just energy. They're almost clear, but you can't quite see them. And they just go up, and they form the capstone on top of that pyramid. I just visualize a golden capstone. You know, in ancient times, they put the best stone available is the capstone to seal the thing off.
Right.
So I put a golden flashing capstone on there, and that's a thought form. You program that, that anybody that's interested and has financial backing to buy a house of that type, this will, their subconscious will pick up this signal you're sending out to this capstone. And it's, this pyramid is fairly big. It's, you know, at least as big as your lot, the baseline of it anyway. So, and when somebody comes to look at the house, they come through that energy field, and it just feels wonderful. They just don't want to leave. It's just, you know, it's just a way to get people in there. And I've sold so many, a lot of houses. I've sold automobiles that way. You know, I've done used car lots that way. I've done restaurants that way. And you can just put a good thought form energy field there. You'll sell that house. I've sold houses within like, the weekend.
Okay. So I would have this double pyramid and I would be in the center of it with the house in the center, you mean?
Yeah, with the house, yeah, be in the house,
right.
And be in the house in the center, and just visualize that thing coming up, you know, and if you need to see, you know, you could get a book and see what a pyramid looks like.
Oh, I know.
And then you can
visualize,
it. And then what I like to do, when I get the thing built, I like to zoom up, way up, you know, in my mind's eye, I'm looking down on it, and it just looks beautiful, and then I'll come back down, then I just see people coming in that wants to buy that house. You know, you almost could put it up, auction it off, and you'd get a good deal. But
you're attracting them in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just bringing them in, and they're just going to love the energy inside of it.
Yeah, well, the fellow that came a couple days ago is interested, you know, and I happened to go to the mall today, and the darndest thing, I almost ran into him walking down, and it's a big mall. And, you know, we started talking a little bit, and he walked on. But I think that's quite a lot of synchronicity there, you know.
Yeah,
not
sure.
A coincidence. Yeah.
So, yeah, just build that pyramid and just see it happening and do it with confidence and faith, and it has to work. That's the universal natural law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One other thing I'd like to say, do you know anything about orbs? I get a lot of orbs in here, and my son takes pictures, and I usually can tell when they're around, because I'll get flashes on the bottom of my eyes, on the mind's eye, you know, on the bottom.
Yeah.
I have a wonderful picture of one, and I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I know. I've seen pictures of them. I'm not an expert on those things, though, but I think...
Very interesting.
The information I've got on orbs is that they are energy.
Yeah, I wonder if one's my father, you know. I don't know. I've got a wonderful picture of one that shows so much energy around it, and it's definitely not dust. You know, my son took several pictures, one right after another, and that's the only flash it was in. And anyway, okay, I will get off because give somebody else a chance. I have a lot of health issues, but I won't even bother with that. God will take care of that, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, one thing I found with the orb pictures, I think, you know, people are sending me in so much. I think with the new cameras, the film and everything, we're capturing things that have always been there. We just couldn't see them before.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some really remarkable things. There's a guy here in Fayetteville that really is interested in orbs. So he goes out at night and just flashes the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at one of the National Civil War cemeteries here.
There's another caller.
Go ahead.
Well, we're going to have to watch this because
hello?
Get to 5 till, we're going to have to stop.
Yeah,
go ahead. Whoever's there.
Hey, this is James. I actually live right here in the area. I live in Siloam Springs.
Oh, okay.
I felt kind of led to your show. It's kind of a weird story, but I don't really have time for it because you guys are getting so close. But I've been to see several psychics over the past year, and back up a little bit. I've been extremely fascinated by the subject of metaphysics and everything for the past 15 years. I'm 33, And anyway, all the psychics that I've been to, that I've talked to, have seen a certain type of energy about me, and they said that I was a healer. And I thought that was kind of weird because I've never done any healing or anything like that. But now it kind of consumes me. I'm just extremely intrigued by it. I'm kind of passionate about it. Anyway, they said that, one of them said that I would, find like a teacher, in this area who I could learn from and, you know, learn to be a healer and stuff. And then I saw your show and did some Googling on, Harold McCoy, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So anyway, I was just wondering, Harold, if you, have any advice or if you have any thoughts. I see that you, are in contact with, a few spirit guides, and I'm just wondering if any, you know, if you get anything of,
Harold, I think it's time for you to talk about your next class you're going to have here.
Yeah.
You're having one in April, aren't you?
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm signing up for it.
Oh, you know about it. Okay, good.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about it in case there's other people that don't know about it.
Well, so far it's been in April. We have a 5-day class. We just call it the Dowsing and Healing Energies Conference. Actually, it's a conference. We have speakers from all over. We'll have probably 30 different speakers, and they're going to all talk about healing and all of those related subjects. And we all do the same thing, but we do it differently. I mean, everybody don't operate exactly the same way, but the whole thing is we're talking about the same energy, and it's a very interesting thing. We talk about different modalities, different healing techniques. So that thing in April, since you're signed up for it, that's going to be great. And then in September, we have a 5-day healing, strictly 5-day conference, and we're just talking about healing. And we teach you different healing modalities. We have 5 instructors that each of those teaches their own technique. And the thing about it is you get to go to every instructor. You go to this instructor today and the next one tomorrow and the next one the next day. So you get a well-rounded class, a 5-day class there. But
there's so many different modalities, and some might work for some people, and some might work for somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
You find the one that is right for you.
Yeah, and you're in Siloam Springs, so you know every Tuesday evening we have a healing meditation group here at the Ozark Research Institute.
You guys get together? Like, is it like a like you meet somewhere?
Well, we'll have 30 or 40 people there, and we do meditation, and there's all kinds of people to meet. I mean,
I've got to do that.
Yeah, every Tuesday evening.
Where's that?
It's downtown Fayetteville.
We're at 221 South Locust Avenue in Fayetteville.
Every Tuesday evening. Okay, well, I'm there.
We're good. Every Tuesday at, 7:30, we try to get started around that. So, you know, people come early, and there's no strangers. They're wonderful people, just a bunch of great people.
So you start at 7:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what Gladys said, that if anybody needed healing, they just call and let them know, and they will work on these different people.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is fantastic. I can't wait.
Okay. All right, I got to watch the clock here because we're coming up to time, but thanks for calling in.
Yeah, right. I look forward to seeing you there, Robert.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, well, Harold, that's what I was going to have you tell people how, you know, about these classes and things, about the Institute. Well, if anyone wants to contact you, how are they going to be able to do it?
Well, our webpage is www.ozarkresearch.org. O-R-G.
It's all one word.
Ozark Research is one word, yeah.
Yeah, ozarkresearch.org.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can contact you through that with email.
Yeah, we got the phone number, the fax number, the email address, and the whole thing there. So
everything is right there on the website then.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everything around the website.
Okay, because that's what Gladys said, that if people want healing, they just have to call in, and you have people calling in from all over the world.
Oh, yeah, we get, yeah.
And they said it may not get you or Gladys, but you will get one of the other people there, and they're all trained to do healing and promote healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. So they can find out more about this on the website then.
Yeah. It's we just have so much fun doing this. It's a great thing to do.
You have found your calling, just like I found mine.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what makes it all worthwhile, when we do find what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, a lot of times I'm not here on Tuesday on the first Sunday, actually. The first Sunday we have a speaker, and we have a potluck. So anybody that would like to come to that, be very welcome.
Okay.
I travel a lot, so I'm not here all the time.
All right. But the website is Ozark Research, and that's O-Z-A-R-K.
Yeah.
For those that are listening overseas, it's O-Z-A-R-K.
Yeah.
Research.org.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to sign off here, because if we don't, they'll pull the plug on us.
Yeah,
but Harold, it's wonderful talking to you again. I keep running into you in airports anyway.
That's where we meet.
But it's wonderful talking to you again, and I wish you lots of luck and health on your travels.
Yeah, you too, Dolores, and I look forward to seeing you. We got to get together one of these days.
Yeah, and thanks for doing the show tonight.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And good night, everybody out there.